Previously on Modular, Bradley traveled bruised and broken back to Wayside Inn, where he reunited with Marticia and his old friend Inverna Nightbreeze. After an emotional reunion, Inverna and Bradley returned to Leilan, where emotions lead to conflict.
I have a quick banter.
Last night,
I was at a party, and I had people say something to me that no one's ever said to me before, which I thought was very nice. Is I like self-deprecatingly like said that I have a big ass forehead, which I'm pretty sure I do, and like six people were like, "No, you don't. You don't have a big ass forehead." And I was like, "Oh, that's a nice thing to say to me in this moment, even though I legitimately know that I have a big ass forehead."
Well, it's either. The alternative to that is that you're going bald. So I would rather have a big ass forehead personally.
I've had the same hairline since I was three. it's just that I have a big ass forehead. And so I was like,
my hairline is big ass forehead. Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm like,
I'm gonna be right back. Give me 1 second.
Oh my God, we're actually recording right now. This motherfucker, now recording. I have to keep answering. Oh my God, he has no respect for the laws of the land.
He just interrupts the banter. He just walks
away. Now he's back. Okay, and by the
way, now he's coming back.
As I was
my
saying,
air purifier was
Thorin
on.
Smells
and
like shit.
I have gotten used to that white noise, but I noticed that my microphone was picking it up, so didn't want to give us bad audio. Sorry for making this listenable to the audience.
My bae, he said, my bae. Raven, what do you say to someone when they have a big-ass forehead?
Well, usually when I see someone with a really big-ass forehead, I hit them with a nice hello.
And welcome.
My name is Luke Big-Ass Forehead Job.
My name is Raven, also with a big-ass forehead, Walker.
My name is Thorin, just big-ass head in general, George.
And this is the Big Ass Head Show. No, it's Modular.
The podcast where we take you through the modules written by the Wizards of the Coast for the 5th edition of People with a Big Ass Forehead.
That's right, Big Ass Forehead Raven. These are the pre-written stories made by the folks who made up D&D. We didn't write them, but we're here to run them for you.
And why would we do that?
Well, you fucking Easter Island looking motherfucker. Maybe you're a DM who is thinking about running a particular campaign and you want to get a feel for how it plays out. Maybe you're a player who's already been in this particular campaign and you want to reminisce on the good old days. Maybe you didn't know that when Thorin was maybe 13 years old, I looked at him and I said, "You might have the biggest fucking head I've ever seen in my goddamn life, you fucking freak show." And then he picked me up and he spun me in the air like a pizza pie. And right as I was about to land back in his hands, he punched me in the base of my spine. And ever since then, I haven't been able to get an erection.
But you should be warned. Make fun of my head size and that will happen to you too. Also, each of our episodes will take on a part of these pre-written adventures. That means there are major spoilers for the key plot points of each story we're running. And right now, we're running Divine Contention. So if you don't want spoilers, you should probably leave right now.
And there is another warning we should offer them.
That's right, Luke, with the big-ass forehead. Modular is not a podcast for children. It contains explicit language as well as adult themes like sex, alcohol, drug use, violence, and spinning your friends like a pizza pie. So please be aware of these not-so-kid-friendly themes.
Now, without further ado, welcome to Modular.
In our episode, Dose of Divine Contention.
It's a modular pod, it's a modular pod.
Okay.
Boop, beep, boop, beep,
so,
beep, boop, beep, boop,
I have a question to sync us up.
Go.
Okay, sunglasses.
Sunnies.
Luke, What is your favorite fruit?
Off the top of my head, I want to say raspberries, but they've done me dirty lately because they get moldy so fast.
Mm.
So you really, if you buy raspberries, you got to eat them that day or the next day.
Yeah.
I was eating a raspberry and I was like, this tastes a little weird. And then I looked at another one and I was like, now I'm going to go vomit. Cause I was eating fucking
yikes.
I gagged and spit a lot, but I didn't vomit. Okay. But let me tell you real quick, side note, I have such a strong stomach when it comes to gross stuff. I can shit, piss, blood, vomit. All of it is fine with me. Mold fucking grosses me out to no other. Like me and Sydney at home, I'm like, I'll kill this cockroach. I'll like clean up this like dog vomit puke shit mix because our dog ate a turd and then puked it up on the carpet. I'm good with all of that. If I see fucking mold, if I see mold on a piece of bread, I'm like, Sydney, you have to throw that away. I can't fuck
when
with
Luke
it.
Sees
wet food in the bottom of the sink, I'll scoop it out with my bare hands.
Luke sees mold.
Fucking mold.
Standing on a couch like an elephant seeing a mouse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, don't tell this guy about vaccines. Am I right, ladies?
Dude.
Raven.
What
is your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit. I like lots of fruits. Some may say that I'm a little bit fruity. Get it?
lesbian.
Yeah. Anyways, no. My favorite fruit, I like blackberries a lot. I mean, I would have to break it down. I would say by category, because to me, you can't compare a berry to a melon. Like those are, it's like comparing apples and oranges, you know, they're not the same.
Who says we can't compare fruit?
I say that we cannot compare fruit. I really do like watermelon though, too. Watermelon might be my favorite fruit.
Oh, I love watermelon.
Good old fashioned watermelon. You slice it up in the summer. There ain't nothing quite like it.
See, I don't really like melons at all.
Well, no one asked you, Thorin.
Mm. Thorin's always been an ass man.
Well, you know, do like tits.
What's your favorite fruit, Thorin?
No, I was going to say, I like people melons, but not like the fruit melons. My favorite fruit is probably peaches.
Oh, those are good.
I love a good peach.
Oh, God, love peaches.
I remember peaches. The best peach and probably the best piece of fruit I've ever had was that one that was growing from Josh's peach tree when we were kids.
Yeah. Wow. They had great peaches.
Did y'all know?
Yeah. Wow.
While Georgia calls itself
throwback.
The peach state, South Carolina actually
South Carolina
produces the most peaches.
Actually produces the most matches peaches in the country. We know, Raven. We went to high school in South Carolina.
Come on. Well, North Carolina produces the most sweet potatoes. Did you know that?
Yeah, who gives a fuck about sweet potatoes? Not me.
Oh, wow.
That's
a single shit.
Sweet potatoes are great.
Sweet potatoes could fall off the face of the earth and no longer exist, and I don't think a single goddamn person would miss
them. I'm killing Bradley this episode, so then we can continue this
season. Sweet potatoes, bake them, mallow them, put them in Thanksgiving dinner.
Give me a second. I have to add a note where, like, a car suddenly appears and Leilon and T-Bones Bradley.
Opportune moment to pancake Tinky Dinky Daffy Bradley Copper with a dump truck.
Yeah. That's weird. I didn't know that we started having trash pickup on Fridays in Leilon. Okay. Is that enough banter for
speaking
you two
of Leilon,
boys?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Go ahead and splotch us some spots.
Splotch you some spotsy watsies.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Jackson Pollock?
Okay.
That's what Thorin's bedroom looks like if you pull out a black light, right? Anyway,
lots
joke.
Of stuff happening in here.
ready for serious D&D whenever.
Speaking of bedrooms, Bradley, you're alone in your bedroom at the end. You remember and recall this tense conversation that you just had with someone in Verna that you hadn't seen in quite some time.
I wouldn't really call that a memory. I would just
it just happened.
Say that. Yeah, it just happened.
Well,
Let me think back to when we were talking about the fruits exactly. 1 minute ago.
That's actually the argument that you had with Inverna was about it was about fruits, not about this dragon that's imminently approaching. So Bradley, you go to sleep alone tonight. I would assume it's probably evening times. You and Inverna had traveled to get to Laidlawn pretty much solidly throughout that last day. And you go to bed alone. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders. I would imagine that your dream world is pretty active as of late with all the stress that you're experiencing. You think of the first thing that when you open your eyes in the morning is the same thing that you're thinking of in your own sleep world. All of the stress of the responsibilities that weigh on your shoulders is immense. And there's a lot of pressure. So when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you think of is finding your friend Inverna Nightbreeze.
Okay. Time to go search for her, I guess.
So you do just that. You wake up at the end. You walk on over to your door, and you proceed downstairs. Inverna, I assume that you probably haven't strayed too far from the inn. Bradley never came back for you last night after you walked outside to cool off. And you are probably downstairs hoping that he is going to return to you at some point. I would imagine that
Inverna would make sure that she's like up early,
punctual,
like so that she doesn't miss him if he tried to leave without her, which is what she's expecting at this point. Inverna's thinking that Bradley probably doesn't want her around, doesn't want to travel with her.
So as Bradley walks down the stairs, you can hear the creak of the floorboards in the inn, and you turn around and you lock eyes with him. It's like the dinner episode of It's Always Sunny when Mac and Charlie keep looking at each other from across the dining room.
Oh my God. Yes.
Y'all lock eyes pretty much immediately. And Ollie looks at you and what are you looking at? The gaze is so strong. And then Ollie sees Bradley coming downstairs as well. And Bradley, you're not even that hungover. You didn't get too drunk. The night before, you were just
got cut off.
Yeah, you got cut off, but you did get mighty pissed and you did have a pretty gnarly fight. So you and Inverna lock eyes and proceed to approach one another.
I'm actually gonna approach the counter first and say, Ollie, can I get get some eggs and sausage, please. Maybe some toast if you have it.
Of course, Bradley. Anything for you. And
over medium, if you don't mind.
Exactly how you like it. And
wow. Okay. I didn't know I was the king of Switzerland in here.
Is the inn set up like Waffle House? So can you see Ollie like cooking all the food?
Oh, you can see Ollie. You can see Ollie cooking.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Shit,
this
surely.
This is breakfast hibachi. A show with cracking the eggs. Ollie flips it up in the air and cracks it on a spatula, and doesn't break the yolk. You can tell that.
Damn, thinking about breakfast makes me hungry.
Yeah, and that you can tell they're pretty skilled. They're pretty skilled with a spatula. So, and then it doesn't take long for Ollie to turn around and slide you a plate of food. Inverna, can I get you anything? Would you like a breakfast as well?
I'm all right, Ollie. I ate some out of my pack, so.
At least let me make you a cup of coffee. And.
Yeah, that's good.
I would imagine Inverna drinks it black. She just feels.
Oh.
She feels like the type of person.
She says, I like my coffee like I like my dragons.
Black. And hot.
A little acidic.
Just a little acidic. And.
It's Bradley's
black
more
coffee. Black coffee with a lemon.
Well, have y'all ever had Coke with lemon? Like a Diet Coke with lemon? That's really good. It's delicious. I bet coffee with lemon couldn't be that bad. I've seen some coffee lemon beverages. And so that's exactly what you get. You get a coffee with a little lemon wedge as decoration on the side. And Bradley has a beautiful breakfast in front of him.
And Bradley also is more of a morning tea kind of person.
Okay, you have a cup of tea and some and Ollie gives you some honey to help alleviate any potential sore throat that you might have. And an awkward silence probably settles over both of you when you have your food and your drinks and just sitting at the bar together.
I'm just kind of pouring salt and pepper on my food, buttering the toast, take a bite. Good morning.
So, POA, there's a town council meeting. You wanted to go to that. There's a mission Marigold's got for us.
All right. Thank you for letting
me
know.
I'm ready to... Yeah, ready to go and whenever you're done.
All right.
Yeah.
And Venna, I both do and don't want to apologize about last night. I do because I was very much out of line. But I don't because my feelings are true. There has been a lot going on recently, in the past month or so since you've been gone. Some would say an entire book's worth. But I know you had your own thing, and I can't fault you for that.
Bradley, I wasn't in a headspace to be able to help you. I was gonna get us both killed. And I mean, say what you will, but I'm ready to help you now.
I'm just going to look at Inverna, like I'm going to turn and look her deep in the eyes. There's a lot of pain and hurt in my eyes, but... All right. I trust you.
She holds out her hand to shake yours.
I clasp it. All right, you sure you don't want anything to eat? He makes a... Ollie, they make a mean hashed potato. It's very good. I might actually order one myself.
Yeah, I'll eat a hashed tater.
Yeah, Ollie, sorry, can I get two hashed potatoes, please?
Coming right up. We got two potatoes on the floor, and you see Ollie shout to there's no one
can
else
I get,
there to
can I get mine smothered and covered?
And we got a smothered cover on the two?
Ollie's talking
to no one, just shouting out the orders.
I don't. What is it called when you add the onions? I don't know. Can you add onions and like little bits of ham?
And we wanted
mine,
the Aki way. And you see, Ollie,
chunked is ham. Smothered is cheese, or I think that's onions. Smothered and covered is cheese and onions. That's how I get mine. But I don't know which is.
Yeah,
which.
I don't know either.
Okay.
But Ollie.
But chunked, I'm pretty sure is ham.
Just as fast as your last food came out, Ollie provides you both with your potatoes. And anything else for the road?
You got a to-go cup for this coffee?
Absolutely. And Ollie pulls out like a hideously branded like styrofoam. Like styrofoam's new to Leilan. Did you know this?
You seen this? You heard about
have
this?
You heard about this? Have you heard about this new invention, styrofoam? This cup, this coffee cup, while it will go on to pollute our beautiful waterways, will keep your coffee warm for you for approximately 45 minutes. So drink up, but enjoy.
Wow.
I actually brought my own, and I pull out like a little thermos, and I say, can you just pour some coffee in here for me?
Ollie pours you up a nice fresh cup of coffee. And you two, there's a more positive feeling shared between you two after a heartfelt moment. You both respectively.
And I'm gonna drop 9 gold on the counter for Ollie.
Thank you so much, Mr. Copper. It's,
I hope that covers everything.
It covers everything and then some. Only the best for my favorite adventurers. And he
now, Inverna, did I give you the scimitar of speed?
I don't think you did.
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to say I picked up this sword while I was out adventuring, but I'm not much of a scimitar guy. Would you like to use it?
Well, you know, maybe. I mean, I've got a Dragon Slayer longsword too, though, so I feel like that's probably best for when we see our possessed friend again. In addition, you can make one attack with it as a bonus action on each of your turns. Ooh. I mean, that's pretty good. I think that it doesn't... It's tough. It's tough because it doesn't quite... It's a finesse weapon. And Inverna's dexterity isn't as good.
And else,
it's not going to do as much damage, but making an extra attack is pretty huge. Because I'm a level 12 fighter, so I already make 3 attacks per turn, so I would get 4 attacks with this weapon.
Yeah.
That, I'll have to do the math on that. That averages out to 11. 1d10 plus 5 slashing from my Dragon Slayer longsword averages out to 11. So if I'm hitting every attack, which is presumptuous, that would be 44 damage per turn. No, sorry, 33, because I would only be making 3 attacks. With this would average out to 8, but 8 times 4 is not more than 33.
It's 32.
It's close. It's close.
So you've got 1 point less.
I feel like
where we teach you how to do.
And this is a purple sword. Inverna says, Bradley, I appreciate this, but this might be worth selling and then collecting the gold to get something else.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Because purple, I think, would go for a few thousand. So
hell yeah.
But that's obviously up to our DM. but I do appreciate this.
Who's the DM? Who are they?
Who's the DM? Yeah. Who the fuck is that?
And I'll say this: Inverna would also know and. We have discussed this, that there are more magical items for purchase at the Peculiarity Shop. So if you so choose to stop by there, you probably have some time before the council meeting to go shopping.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's go see. What's the name?
Aubrey.
Let's go see Aubrey.
All
right. You both...
Inverna would stop and say... What happened to Zephyros?
Zephyros left. I don't remember where he went, but Aubrey's back. And that's all we need to know.
Cool. I'm sure we'll never see him again in another adventure unrelated to this one.
Probably not.
He's gone forever.
Cool.
So I'll make the trip from the inn to the Peculiarity Shop. As you're walking through town, you do notice that there is someone now manning the Shrine of Tyr. You don't really get a full look at this fella, but it is a short, peg-legged dwarf in a pinstripe suit with a small little comb over, and he's just about his business. He looks quite busy.
Okay.
But in passing, you do notice that there is someone new now manning the shrine.
I didn't know we had a shrine to Tyr.
It was rebuilt in recently.
While you were away.
Oh, okay.
And Verna looks to Bradley. There's people worshiping dead gods.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like the concept of what Tyr stood for still lives throughout. It still permeates throughout the universe. So as long as there are people who believe, then the god's not really dead, is he?
Yeah, maybe so.
At least what he said.
But I mean, like, he is dead, yeah. Though.
He is dead.
And I mean, like, I mean, Merkel's dead too, right? Merkel's undead.
Merkel's very much alive, though.
I don't know how it fucking works, man. Divinity, it's above my pay grade.
All right, cool. Let's go see about some magic items.
So y'all make it to Aubrey's, and you step in. And I like to imagine with his shop, there's always like a bell that rings. It's a very, and you're transported into a bit of a different world for a second when you're shopping at Aubrey's. And does he always do kind of like the reanimation moment bit that you kind of put in place, Luke, when he...
That is up to you, dog. You are in charge
okay,
now.
Okay, cool.
He can do anything, any wacky, wild, flailing, arm-flailing, inflatable tube-man shit you want him to do.
Y'all walk in, and all you see at the counter at first is a hand doing a little dance, doing a little bit of a tap dance, and his tarsals and what are the finger bones, they're all clickety-clacking around.
His phalanxes.
His phalanges. His phalanges are clicking and clacking about, and... one hand does almost like a full turnaround, almost like the thing from the Addams Family, and how he just kind of moves his whole body around or hand around and manipulates and looks towards both of you as you enter the shop. And then the rest of Aubrey pops up from behind the counter. Hey there, kid, what's new? Welcome to Aubrey's. Oh, you again? It's a pleasure to see you. And you have a friend by your side? Would you like to peruse my peculiarities? Spend some time and have a bit of fun here at Aubrey's.
Yeah, Aubrey, it's good to see you. So how exactly does your reanimation work? Like, do you become reanimated as soon as we enter the store? Like, when we're thinking about entering the store? Like, because as soon as we're done shopping, you know, you fall back down into a pile of bones. So I'm just... curious as to how this whole system works.
Oh, Mr. Copper, are you interested in learning more about old Aubrey? Not many people ask. You see, I have something that they call the sixth sense. I know when a customer's about, and here I am, ready to serve you. And who, I don't believe, have we formally met? I can't recall off the top of my,
Name's, I met Zephyros, so I ain't never met you. Name's Inverna Nightbreeze, former sheriff of Phandalin. Now, personal bodyguard to this hunk of adventurer. And she, like, pats Bradley on his tit.
Aubrey's hands pop out towards you and Verna and start to feel the muscles on your arms. Oh, quite strong, I see. Strapping, even. And you get a nice slap on the back from one of the hands before they return to his skeleton. That's a great question, Bradley. But yes, that's about all that happens. I can sense you coming, and here I am. That's what she said.
All right.
Sorry.
What have you got for sale today?
Aubrey pulls out a sheet of a preview items, almost like a little advertisement in a vintage style. For you, Mr. Coppa, I have the world. Just kidding. I have three sets of different items for you to preview. I have this arrow of dragon slaying. Seems a little bit pointed, you know? There's 1 to 3 arrows, but no more than 3. I can only sell you 3, but you can get 1, 2, 3, but not more than that. And then we also have a ring of evasion here, Mr. Coppa. And that might be mighty useful if you need to evade. And then we also have the Warhorn of Valor.
What does that one do?
Let the DM look up this item for you quickly.
Oh, golly. Oh. Arrows of Dragonslain. We're going to be fighting a dragon, I think. Could be potentially...
Well, I don't have a bow. I have a bolt. Or I have a crossbow.
I have a bow.
Okay, this brass well, wall
horn
is in...
I want to assume you have your own money too, right?
This brass war horn is
engraved...
Yeah,
I'm about to have more if I sell this.
...with a war rune, which glows purple when the horn is blown. You can blow the horn itself as a bonus action, but when you do, if you have the frightened condition, you immediately end that condition on yourself. You also have advantage on saving throws against being frightened at the start of your next turn. It's the Horn of Valor.
That's... Okay. Dragons can be quite frightening. That's not a terrible thing to have. How much for each of these things, Aubrey?
And he starts to point out the prices that are listed next to the items on his little preview sheet. 1,000 gold each for the arrows. So if you get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And then if you see here the Ring of Evasion, that will be 1,000 gold. And then the War Horn of Valor, 1,500 even.
And this Ring of Evasion, what's that do mechanically, Aubrey?
Mechanically, again, let me refer.
I have it pulled up. It says this ring has 3 charges and it regains 1d3 expended charges daily at dawn. When you fail a dexterity saving throw while wearing it, you can use your reaction to expend one of its charges to succeed on that saving throw instead.
So smart, Mr. Coppa.
But it requires attunement.
Requires attunement, so Bradley's not going to be interested in it.
Yeah, no.
All right. And hey, you see this scimitar speed? That's a pretty nice thing, huh?
It does look like a mighty fine item.
How much would you buy this for? Yeah, do you buy these?
I could certainly restock and buy an item, perhaps sell it to another person who is preparing for battle.
According to my math, I did my math, Aubrey. I was looking back at the Sears catalog, and this is worth 6,000 gold. So, you willing to buy that off
of me?
That's
a mighty steep price,
Wait, you handed it back to me. That's.
Well, you gave it to me, and that'd be my gold.
I won't have any fighting over gold in my store. Ha, there's plenty of gold to go around. Now, will you make your case for me, Inverna? Give me a pitch, please. Why should I buy this scimitar from you?
She, I'll make a performance check for this if you want me to. She pulls it out of its scabbard, and, minus one, let's go. That's a 4. She pulls it out of its scabbard and just kind of holds it there, and she says, I mean, look at it.
Aubrey looks it over. I might need some more convincing. What do you say, Mr. Coppa? What's the value? What do you think I should go in on the spear?
I mean, if the market price is 6,000, I would probably go for that. Also, I have this diamond worth 5,000 gold to sell you.
500 gold. It's worth 500 gold.
You said 5,000.
If it's the one from Claugilia Matter's lair, it's 500 gold, I promise.
It says a transparent blue, white, canary, pink, brown, or blue gemstone worth 5,000 gold pieces.
I'm telling you what I read in the book. I'm no longer your DM. Raven can make it worth 5,000 gold.
We'll go with I feel like the 500, if that's what the other book said, is reliable. I'm not trying to shaft you of money. Bradley/Thorn. Well, that means one. There's a 1, there's a 2, and put that together, that means that I would be giving you 6,500 gold.
That sounds great. That sounds really good, and we can buy all of this stuff.
So you want all the items?
Well, I definitely, Bradley, what do you think? I want them arrows. Also, can we talk about the ethics of this? The fact that, like, you live in this town too, and there's a dragon coming, and you don't want to just give us this stuff?
Everybody's have to have a living. Even the skeletons. Even the dead.
The dead have to make a living too.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm selling the Scimitar of Speed.
Okay.
For the 6,000, if that's what I'm getting for it.
You have successfully acquired 6,000 gold. Are you selling?
And I'm burning 3,000 gold.
To get those.
At least.
To get all three.
To get those three. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Trust me.
I cannot find the Warhorn of Valor on the item list.
I can't either.
I found it in, you could just also make your own custom item. Hold on. Here's a link for the item description. Is there like a message feature here?
Honestly, Inverna, you're fine with holding all that, right? You can be the owner of these items.
But do you want that Warhorn? I'm thinking maybe save money on the Warhorn.
Don't take the Warhorn?
I don't know. What do you think? I'm burning another 1,000 for the Ring of Evasion. Because okay. Inverna is currently attuned to zero magic items. Smart. So there's really no reason for me not.
I mean, I think I'm okay on it.
So.
All right, yeah, let's leave it then. We'll save the money. Aubrey might have some more good stuff later down the road, so.
I can't thank you enough for both coming into my store today and being a patron of the Peculiarities, and I wish you both best of luck. If you ever need anything in the future, you know where to find me, and I can't go far. I'm kind of stuck here.
Of course. Oh, that's kind of sad. All right, cool.
Have a good day, Aubrey.
You as well. And he as you both walk out of the and hear the jingle of the bell, as soon as the bell jingles, Aubrey is no more. He's back behind the counter again, his bones just clinking and clanking.
Scattered.
It's like the I imagine
what a way to
the,
live.
You know the sound in the Lego video games when the Legos fall apart?
Yeah.
That's what Aubrey sounds like when he falls apart on the floor. God, those games are so fun. Anyways. You both exit Aubrey's Peculiarity Shop feeling pretty good. Even if there's the looming threat of, you know, a dragon and two cults, it's fun to go shopping with your best friends.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
that's a fun way to spend
the
day.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, the shopping day montages and like rom-coms when there's like a Sarah Bareilles song playing in the background. Like, y'all both feel like really good about spending some money. I'm walking on sunshine. You both have your bags as you walk out of Aubrey's. But then you're giggling and hitting each other as you walk away. But there's not much more time for fun and games, as there's almost always business to be taken care of in Leilan. So you head on down to where the council meeting is taking place. You've spent some time in Aubrey's, and let's say it's probably heading into the afternoon now, and you both can proceed on down and reconvene with Marigold and the rest of the council. And when both of you enter, you can hear hushed whispers amongst the group, and the person or the dwarf that you saw on your way to the Peculiarity Shop is now in the room as well. And
new council member alert.
Marigold locks eyes with both of you when you walk in. He's probably been the one sitting in silence, anxiously awaiting for Bradley to show up to the council. Oh, yes.
I think...
You can go ahead, Luke.
Sorry to interrupt. I think that Valdi's in the room,
yes,
right?
Yes, Valdi is also in the room.
Inverna definitely looks at Valdi first, and then as soon as they make eye contact, she looks away, she feels her face flush, she feels her heart rate elevate, like, palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's not vomit on her sweater already, but give it time.
When
she just had mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. When you lock eyes with Valdi, Valdi does one of those numbers where she kind of like turns her head and like, you know, when someone's like looking at someone really hard and she's not just looking at you. That's like, it's like a pretty intense, there's some charged emotions behind the look. But Marigold runs up. He's unaware of any charged glances happening into the side of the room. And, yes, Bradley and Inverna. It's good to have you both at the council meeting. I thought I would take some time to introduce you to our new friend here. We all know that Tyr is no longer with us. And do we say rest in peace to the gods? Do we? I'm not sure what we say to the gods. But regardless, we still have his values to uphold, and there's value in what they can bring to Leylon. And this dwarf with a peg leg and the little pinstripe suit, after Marigold gestures to him, he walks up to both of you, and he looks like a almost like a little southern old man in a pinstripe suit, you know, that kind of vibe. Very Matlock in nature. That's kind of the inspo that I had here. And he reaches out a hand. Vengal Cuskolt here. Pleasure to meet both of you. I'm in the business of bringing justice to Leylon. Whether it be through a firm, hard arm cracking down against anything that might happen in this city, to supporting the efforts in keeping the town safe. It's a pleasure to meet both of you. And he reaches out a hand to shake Bradley's first.
Yeah, no, of course. I shake his hand as well.
He gives you a nice, vigorous arm shake. And then, same as you, I've heard people speak of Bradley often. And I assume you're Inverna Nightbreeze?
Yeah, that's right. She shakes his hand, but she looks at him and she says, I ain't in the business of trusting no backwoods southern lawyer.
Well, I'm a fine, established, practicing attorney. There's nothing you need to be worrying about. You can trust me.
Sure, I can.
Now, Inverna, Vengal has been very gracious in the rebuilding of the shrine to treat it as a place where we can handle any legal disputes and matters. I don't think you need to be worried.
Are we gonna have a trial this season?
I think in times of warfare, maybe the best things to be investing in are, I don't know, battlements, arming folks,
nuclear weapons,
making sure that people have evacuation plans. But I mean, sure, yeah, build a shrine to a dead god and make sure we can work out our differences like civilized folks. Everybody knows what's at stake here. Whatever. I'm not the talker. She gestures to Bradley. Let's just sit down and hear what y'all got to say in this meeting.
We understand there's a lot of at stake here, but the reality is that what happens after is going to need some mitigating as well.
Well, we got to make sure there's an after, don't we?
I know, but I'm hopeful. I believe in you and Bradley, okay? And at the after Marigold ends on that note, he proceeds back to where he was sitting, and as does Vengal. And Vengal has a little frown in his face because he really wanted to make a good impression. And he felt like things went over well with Bradley, but Inverna was casting... Press X for doubt. That's what Inverna was doing.
Inverna, when you look at her personality traits, nice is
no,
not one of
them. No. She's just hot. Just let her be hot and angry.
Exactly. In another life, she was a barbarian.
Honestly. Well, with that, it's time for us to have reconvene and receive updates. And I know, Bradley, we have not formally spoken as a council since you returned. Would you care to tell us how things are faring in terms of your work?
Well, I stopped a ritual of Merkel's from taking over the Green Dragon. That wasn't Cloud Gillia matter, was it?
It was.
Oh, it was? Then what's the other one's name?
La Maruntos.
I stopped Clougilliamatter from becoming possessed by the ebb and death ancient Draco Lich, but unfortunately he targeted Lamaruntos, who I had just saved from another possession by some kind of demonic entity. And I stopped a cultist of Talos from killing me so that I could continue to fight. I sent my younger brother Sly to Neverwinter to try and gain some forces to bring down here for the coming fights ahead. And I believe that's all that's really happened since the last we saw each other.
That was a beautiful recap, Bradley. We're still waiting on word from Sly, and in Griselda is in the corner, obviously probably looking very over it at this point. Mr. Copper, we put trust in you. There's just another dragon for us to worry about.
I'm sorry, am I supposed to go around and kill every single dragon I come across? Even the good ones?
Yeah. What the fuck is that about? Wasn't he sent to save her? No, I guess he wasn't. He was sent to divine something. But he did the right thing. You want him killing good aligned dragons? Oh, just in case they get fucking possessed? I don't think so. You got your goddamn mind.
Bradley, and Hazyorim is speaking up. It's a good to see you.
It's a good to see you.
I'm very pleased in all the work that you have done for us. But Bradley, I must be honest. The impending cults. I'm afraid, Bradley. And Marigold has mentioned a mission for you to go receive more magical items.
Yes, to Nomengard.
Oh, Bradley, I fear in your absence. What if something happens? What if? I don't know what if we should, how do you say, gird our loins, or risk you being gone.
I mean, you've staved the dragon off before. Can you not do it again?
I don't know how many times we could stave a dragon off, reasonably. What if the forces show up?
I have a good feeling that there won't be any forces showing up until the end of this adventure. Of course, I could be wrong, but...
I mean, I don't want to...
Hey, Siegel's a fast horse, you know? We'll move quick. Siegel, show us the meaning of this.
And Siegel walks into the council chamber's room and does a really sick, like, fast lap around the council.
Yeah, Siegel does an Akira slide. Yeah.
Yes, oh my god.
Hazyorim, there's nothing for you to worry about. They have the fastest horse on all of Leilan, almost probably all of Faerun. And I understand that your concerns are that we should have people keeping us safe here in Leilan, but it's not realistic for us to keep Bradley here for the rest of his days. As a mere bodyguard.
What about the guard? You have a professional guard. What are you paying them for if not to protect this place?
I think the general concern is that every time there's an apex critical moment, it seems as though you're the one that comes in and does everything. So I think that's the worry for the council, is that when you're gone, we could be at risk.
And you know, Marigold, to add to that, and Valdi is still probably looking at Inverna when she's speaking. I personally believe it's in our vested interest to have everything in our means to keep the town of Leilan safe, even if that means going to get another magical item. And I know that these two, and looks at both of you, are capable of doing such.
I believe so as well.
Thanks for the...
Thank you for the sentiment. Now, is there anything else that we should be concerned of before we head off to Nomengard?
Well, as I'm reviewing my memo notes, it believes that was the main thing of discussion. We wanted to ensure that you were prepared to go to Nomengard, and that we at least had a good idea of how your work has been going. You know, I know the rest, some of the other council members can seem a bit, and he cuts his eyes at Griselda, a bit not thankful for what you've done, but...
Is Galio Librio here?
He is here. He's a bit quiet. You can tell that Galio is, he's thinking. He's thinking about something. He has yet to speak his mind on whatever is going on in his head. But it's pretty easy to tell that he is rolling around something in his brain.
I think he's got something going on in that tower, I whispered to Inverna.
She just nods.
All right, well, if that's settled, then I believe Inverna and I will be on our way.
Well, safe travels as always, Bradley. And I know that you will return.
Thank you.
And... as you both turn on your heels and begin to exit the council room, Inverna, you feel someone right behind you, and it doesn't take a mathematician. Yeah, it doesn't take a mathematician or a ultra perceptive person to put the two and two together. Valdi is following you outside of the council room, and it wants to talk, is likely pursuing you to catch you outside on the docks to have a conversation.
Inverna would turn. What's up?
How are you? I just seeing you again. It's been a minute.
Yep. Yeah. Good. Yeah, can't wait to fight a dragon.
And Vanna, I know you. You being short like this, you're short, but you weren't always this short with me.
She squints and she says, I'm taller than you.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know how I feel being so close to someone who rejected me.
Inverna, in the time you were gone, I regret that. Immensely. And I apologize, and I don't expect you to accept it. I don't expect you to... take what I say and my apology, but I'm sorry for hurting you. It was never my intention.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine I'd feel pretty bad if I fumbled a bag as bad as me, too. So, you know, I get it. And she gives Valdi a stern clap on the side of her arm and just walks off.
Well, and Valdi looks... majorly dejected. if Bradley was the one with the sad Charlie Brown music last episode, Valdi has the sad Charlie Brown music this episode. Head hanging. And Bradley, you got to be witness. For the most part, you are the main character in terms of romance, but you got to be a little bit of a third wheel for a moment there. And while you were overhearing Valdi's and Inverno's conversation, the both of you are standing on the docks, and as you look out, you can see that you can make a good look of all of the little outcroppings in the water. While it's cold in Leilan today, it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. The water looks crisp, clear, and blue. Although you do see Inverna's one styrofoam cup floating by as it has made its way into the water. But at the center...
You see a fish take a bite out of it, immediately choke and die.
You see a turtle with a six-pack of PBR around it. and in this episode of Modular, we have invented the concept of ruining and destroying our oceans and their natural beauty. But you see Idle Island at its center. And you think back to when... You think back to when Locke found you at Idle Island, and you feel the cold winds drifting towards you, and you hear those whispers again. Whispers pulling you out towards the island, but this time they sound like a familiar friend. It sounds like Scylla is calling out to you. Bradley. Bradley, just know. And they're something in you tells you that you need to return to Idle Island just once more.
Okay. I'm going to make a mad dash. I'm going to start fucking sprinting across the water.
And Inverna, you don't hear these whispers. So for you, what you see is you have a conversation with Valdi. You turn around and catch Bradley staring off a 1,000-yard stare in the distance. And makes an immediate mad dash towards Idle Island. And I assume that you cannot walk on water.
I can't. I'm not the savior.
But there is a small boat with an oar. And if you so choose, you can follow Bradley out on the water. But Bradley, you are making a mad dash towards Idle Island. And you reach the same place, the same area. It all looks the same. And again, you were pulled back into a deep sleep when you reach Idle Island. There's not much you can do to avoid it. You feel the warmth of a hug against your bare chest. It could be a lover. They caress your cheek. And you feel warm breath against your lips. You know, this could be a possibility for you. It's not that far outside of your realm. You could have this happy life. But there are storm clouds overhead, and as always, something has to happen. The smell of rotting flesh is in the air, burning flesh. And you see the dreadnought, and you hear the cackle of Feralized Storm Swarm. And you see Scylla's corpse. It's draped from the center mast. And you feel the winds around you circle with a dragon overhead. But that's not all you see. You see your friends, too. You see them dying, one by one. Marigold, Valdi, Gallio. Inverna's there, too. And each of your allies is dead in the mud. Each of your friends taken from you. Bradley, when you're standing, all you can feel is that cold wind in your face. Modular is Thorin George's Bradley Copper. Luke Jobe is Inverna Nightbreeze, and Raven Walker is our DM. The story that you heard today, as well as 99% of the characters, were created by Wizards of the Coast and can be found in the module Divine Contingent. Holly Lyons is our fantastic editor. Raven Walker does our brand new cover art. Our music today was written and performed by Max Hedman. You can find Max's music anywhere you listen to music. You can follow us on Twitter at ModThePod, join our private Facebook group at the Modular Podcast Fan Club, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Modular Podcast, and subscribe to us on YouTube at The Modular Podcast. You can email us with any questions about our show at modularthepodcast@gmail.com. Here's a quick shout out to Azzy Homebrew. Mayhem Entertay 1, The Wiz Sword, Honor Without, and Fireside Legends. All of these folks follow us on Twitter, and if you want a shout out, maybe you should follow us there too. Thank you so much for liking our show, listening, sharing, tweeting about it, recommending it to your friends and family. It means the world to us here at Modular. New episodes come out every Tuesday. And until then, thank you for listening to Modular.